The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you.
The word of God be in my mind, my lips, in my heart. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so he who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I had a homily all prepared, and I got up 3:30, threw it in the trash, because I kept hearing, maybe it was through my dreams, suffering and love. You come to God through either great suffering or through great love. That's what Father Rohr taught me years ago, that that's mainly how a lot of us come to God. So it reminded me of some stories I want to share with you. When I was living in Berkeley, California, going to school at the Graduate Theological Union there in Berkeley, and living in Oakland with my brother Dominicans in the big house, the big priory, where there's like about 50 or 60 of us in there. I had to have a year diaconate, that transition year, being a deacon for a year. And then you're ordained for the priesthood. And so I asked if I could go to St. Mary Magdalene's in Berkeley and do my year there. And then, little did the authorities know, the prior know or anybody else, that I wanted to take courses, still take courses and get my credits so I could graduate early and be ordained earlier, which I did. So I finished school. What are you going to do with me? You know, got to ordain me and put me to work. So I went to Berkeley from the priory to St. Mary Magdalene's, the Dominicans staffed at that time. I spent a year there. And I became friends while I was going to school at the same time with a heretic. He was a Jesuit. and we became good friends. And he lived in San Francisco with his community there. And Jesuits always needed somebody to be a friend with. So I became friends with him. And he used to commute back and forth over the Bay Bridge from San Francisco to Berkeley on his motorcycle. He had a motorcycle. And one day he was in an accident, and his leg was smashed to bits, one of his legs. And he was taken to the hospital there in Berkeley and was cared for in the emergency room by a non-Christian doctor. And when the pain would become unbearable, this Jesuit would turn away from everyone in the room, in the emergency room, and turn toward the wall and grab a hold of the cross on his neck. And he would squeeze the cross and hold the cross. And then he would turn back to all of us and he would smile. And so the doctor treated him for about a month trying to save the leg. But one night, the doctor came to him and said, "Father, we have done everything that we can for you, but I'm sorry to say that we'll have to amputate your leg." And so my friend, the Jesuit, says, "That's fine." And then he fell peacefully asleep. Just like that. The doctor and the Jesuit ended up becoming friends, actually, themselves. And one day the doctor asked him, what was in him? What was in him that gave him his freedom? And he said, "When I saw you in the emergency room," he said, "when I looked at you, I said to myself, you are either a saint or you were the son of the devil himself. And I have seen people come in here hurt, in less pain, and they would be screaming. And these people would be yelling and shouting and cursing God, but you came in and you were peaceful. What's in you? How do you do that? That night when I came to you and tried to break the news to you about your leg being amputated, with ease you simply said, "Go ahead." And then you went to sleep. So the Jesuit friend brightened up and he replied, "Well, doctor, I know that with my leg and without my leg, God loves me all the same. Always loving me, no matter what." And the fool, this Jesuit, believed that. Now, you and I can say, "God loves me. God loves me all the same, with or without my leg," right? We can all say that. But don't you dare cut off my leg. My friend was flowing with life because he believed that God loved him all the same. His belief in God's love for him was the meaning and the purpose of his life. Yeah, even though he was a Jesuit. And he could lose all else as long as he had God's love in his life. You know, it's one thing to talk about it and believe it. It's another thing to know it. That, my brothers and sisters, is what we see in the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is not going to save your leg or your arm or any other part of your body. The cross will not spare you from surgery. I've had plenty of surgeries, and I know many you have too. The cross will not stop you from becoming a cripple, perhaps. But the cross of Jesus Christ will give you always that inner freedom to be able to say, with my leg or without my leg, God loves me all the same. So go ahead, cut it off if you have to. I can go to sleep and I can be at peace. That's freedom. That's what the cross does for you. Get time for another story? Okay, all right. So, thanks. That same year, whether you like it or not, that same year that I was at St. Mary Magdalene's Parish in Berkeley, I met a woman who was married with several children, and she was young, and she came down with cancer. And one day she told me that when she first found out that she had cancer and a short time to live, she was devastated and she became depressed. She was scared. She was frightened. And then some friends of her in the parish invited her to become part of the prayer group. And so she did. And while she was praying one day, she had an experience of love in her life that she had never had before, and a relationship with God that opened up. And that day, she told me, "When I had that experience, I don't pray anymore that I be cured for myself. But I pray that God will help someone find a cure for cancer so that others, thousands and thousands upon others who come after me, will profit and benefit from the cure. That's what I pray for." But she said there's one thing she prays for herself, she said. "I pray that I may live one day at a time, just one day at a time, and live as fully as I can." That's what Jesus came for, that you may have life and have it to the full. And she was going to live that. And you know what? She did. So she was so fully present to life that she enjoyed every moment of her day for the rest of her life. And the day that she realized that her time had come, she called her husband, who was at work, to come pick her up and bring her to the hospital. So the poor husband drove her to the hospital, and when they got there, he put her into a wheelchair, and he was wheeling her into the emergency room, and she asked him, she said, "Darling, could you get me a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil or something?" So he went and he retrieved something. So you might think that she was going to dictate her last will and testament, right? But no. She was thinking about her husband and her children and her little children. Her husband was like a lot of husbands, can't cook. So what's new? She had done all the cooking all the time. He had never cooked. She did it all. So she started dictating simple, very simple recipes to her husband so that he would be able to feed himself and the children. And while she was doing that, she passed. To this day, my brothers and sisters, I pray to her, give me your spirit. Give me that heart that can live so freely when I know that I too am going to die, when I know that everything is going to be gone. She had just a short time to live, but she lived fully. For her, it seemed like death was a joke. Dictating recipes, she passed from this life to the next life, doing something for somebody. And she's probably still doing things for people to this day. So, my friends, that was for me an insight into what the cross of Jesus Christ is about. You can talk about it all you want, but that's what it was all about. No theology course could give me that lesson. It's not freedom from death. The cross. The cross is not freedom from suffering. It's not freedom from pain. It is an inner freedom that we can experience even in our suffering, even in our pain, even in the face of our own death. And this freedom is available to everyone, all the time. To experience the divine is to rest fully in God's love while we have an experience of the cross. An experience of freedom and liberation at all times in our life. Even in our suffering, even in our sickness, and even in our deaths.